Welcome to Capital Link's company presentation series.
Welcome back to the 2026 Capital Link Corporate Presentation Series. As a reminder, in this series, company management highlights the company's current operations, business development, growth prospects, and sector outlook. We have with us today the senior management team of Pyxis Tankers, Mr. Eddie Valentis, Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Henry Williams, CFO and Treasurer. Pyxis Tankers currently owns a modern fleet of six mid-size eco vessels, which are engaged in the seaborne transportation of a broad range of refined petroleum products and dry bulk commodities, and consists of three MR product tankers, one Kamsarmax dry bulk carrier, and controlling interest in two dry bulk joint ventures of a sister ship, Kamsarmax and an Ultramax. Pyxis Tankers trades on the Nasdaq Capital Market under the ticker symbol PXS. In terms of logistics, we begin with a company presentation followed by a live Q&A. Please note that participants can submit their questions through the Q&A button on your screen during the webinar. Your questions will be answered during the Q&A session. As a reminder, before we begin our webinar, kindly note that this discussion is strictly for informational educational purposes and should not be relied upon. The webinar does not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities or investment advice or advice of any kind, and Capital Link bears no responsibility for the content. Let us now begin with our discussion. I'd like now to pass the floor to Mr. Eddie Valentis. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for your kind comments, and thank you for inviting us to this webinar. We are Pyxis Tankers. We have, as Paul said, we have a vessel of six. We have a fleet of six vessels, three tankers and three bulk carriers. And we focus mainly on the mid-size vessels. The company has substantial dry powder to acquire to expand its fleet. We had a good 3 years, and Henry Williams, our CFO, will go through the financials later. We have long-standing relationships with first-class customers, and as of January 26, 73% of the available days of Q1 were covered for the MRs, and approximately 27% of our days were covered for the bulkers. So, we're positioned to fully capitalize, to further capitalize, if charter rates improve, and we will give you a brief market overview in a little while. We have primarily fiscal based structure, which creates operating leverage, and we have a very competitive total daily operational costs and per vessel compared to other U.S.-listed companies. A very solid balance sheet with significant liquidity and modest leverage. Very strong management team, a substantial capital markets experience and shipping experience, and we have a proven track record, as myself as a major shareholder, my interests are closely aligned with the shareholders. So the fundamentals for both dry and wet, they look good. We have a solid global GDP growth, which helps offset vessel supply growth and increases and heightens market, which the vessel supply story is a bit of an uncertainty going forward, but we think that with a solid global GDP, this will offset it. We have a proven ability to navigate through volatile shipping markets, and we have a very disciplined financial management and diversified operations. Very compelling valuation metrics. It's a very strong value composition proposition with significant potential for share price appreciation. Going to slide four. You see the list of the vessels, three tankers. You see the time charters, which are included in these time charters, and the dry bulk vessels in the lower part, where you see that the current employment rates, where they stand. Next Next slide, five. Our aim is to pursue acquisition of MR vessels, MR2s, IMO 2 or 3 class vessels, eco-efficient always, built after 2014. And we want to take advantage when the asset prices start to normalize at this stage, as will be explained also to you later. They're in the very high asset value. We're in a very high asset value environment. We employ a mixed chartering strategy between time and spot markets, as previously said, and we maintain optionality. Spot exposure offers us upside potential when we see peaks in the market, when we see market strength. We will deploy funding on hand to expand our fleet. And of course, we always address environmental and social governance standards throughout this organization. Going to slide six, a brief market update on the product tanker sector. The seaborne trade of oil refined products has been moderately correlated to global GDP growth. And in January 2026, the IMF slightly revised its forecast for annual global GDP growth to average 3.25% through 2027 due to resilient economic activities, trade tensions, and modest inflation. OPEC Plus has reconfirmed the full return of its 2.2 million barrels per day voluntary crude production cuts, which gradually started in April 2025. Severe sanctions on Russia, expanding US-led restrictions on Iran, and the takeover of Venezuela's energy industry by the US may limit petroleum exports, particularly to China, and reduce the dark fleet, resulting in greater demand for compliant tankers while further disrupting trade routes. The IEA's January 2026 update projects global oil consumption to increase by over 900 million barrels per day, 900,000 barrels per day, less than 1%, reaching to 105 million barrels per day in 2026, with normalizing economic activity. Global crude supply is estimated to rise by 2.5 million barrels per day to reach an average of 109, approximately 109 million barrels per day this year, driven by greater production in non-OPEC plus countries in the Americas, as well as OPEC plus countries. Product tanker charter rates remain reasonably healthy despite moderating demand for refined products worldwide. In some locations, oil product inventories continue to remain below historical averages. In 2026, global refinery runs are expected to increase by 1% to 84.4 million barrels per day, supported by satisfactory crack spreads. For example, during the 4 weeks ended January 16, according to EIA, utilization at US refineries ran at 94.5%, up a full 3.6% year to year. These dynamics should support decent charter rates for the remainder of the year. Longer-term product tanker demand is further sustained by increasing worldwide refinery throughput and net capacity additions of 2.5 million barrels per day from 25 to 30, according to Drewry report. Substantially in the Middle East, Asia, driving ton-mile expansion and growth in petroleum product exports from the US, Middle East, India, and China. Going to slide eight. The Russia-Ukraine situation continues and there is reshaping the trade flows and expands ton-mile demand. Despite 19 rounds of sanctions by the EU and UK and US actions, Russian petroleum exports have largely shifted to China and India through new US measures are beginning to curb deliveries. The EU ban on refined products derived from Russian crude starts this month and extends to all Russian energy imports by 2027. With approximately 13% of the global product tanker the fleet blacklisted, demands for compliant tonnage is rising. Meanwhile, US Gulf and Middle East product exports are moving longer distances, further supporting ton-mile growth. The fragile October 25 ceasefire between Israel and Hamas has reduced regional volatility, with Houthi attacks in the Red Sea declining, resulting in rising Suez Canal transits. Still, vessels continue to be rerouted via the Cape of Good Hope, adding approximately 15 days to Arabian Sea Europe voyages and tightening effective supply. Unstable conditions in Iran could escalate hostilities involving Israel, the US, and Iran's regional proxies, which could further disrupt trade flows. A resurgence of Somali piracy in the Indian Ocean further compounds these risks and heightens operational uncertainty. The economic impact from the recent introduction expansion of US trade restrictions is still developing, including the effects of the energy market. Recent US actions regarding Greenland may delay the implementation of the July 25 US-EU trade agreement for the potential purchase of 750 billion in US energy products over the next 3 years, which could have been a possible tailwind for tanker demand. The US-sponsored regime change in Venezuela should have limited impact to the oil markets in the short term, but may impact other countries, including Cuba. The implementation of significant surcharges targeting Chinese-built owned or operated vessels for access to US ports and reciprocal Chinese measures against US-linked vessels has been delayed until November 26, pending further negotiations. Uneven economic activity amid ongoing destabilizing geopolitical events, combined with limited inventories in certain locations, create arbitrage opportunities for refined products across a number of markets and supports our sector. At the same time, these conditions contribute to greater spot chartering volatility. Unpredictable weather patterns and climate change only adds to operating complexity. In the short term, market sentiment should continue to be dictated by the effects of armed conflicts and the general economic fallout from trade restrictions. Going to slide nine. Let me give you a few numbers on the net fleet growth, which is estimated to be 6% in 2026. The order book for MR2s, approximately 194 vessels during 2024, four were ordered, but the pace has slowed dramatically. Only 53 new building orders were placed in 2025. As of December 31st, the MR2 order book stood at 268, which represents 14% of the worldwide fleet of 1,920 tankers. There is a rising delivery schedule. 138 MRs are scheduled for shipyard delivery 92 in 2026, and 92 tankers we expect, 92 MRs, twos we expect in 27. Very importantly, the increasing IMO regulations, CO2 emissions regulations, EEXI and CII took effect in 2023. The IMO vote to approve passage of net zero framework under MEPC 83 has been postponed until October 26. And if implemented, further carbon reductions would start with a couple of years, and non-compliant vessels would see material penalties. Going to the next slide. Prices to give you an idea, new buildings currently with delivery end 2028 are standing to nearly 50 million, 49.4 to be exact, with a historical average of 38.5. The 5-year-old, 43 million, with a historical average of 40. And the 10-year-old at 33 million, with a historical average of 30. Going to slide. The next slide, the dry bulk market update quickly. Historically, demand growth for many dry bulk commodities has been moderately correlated to global GDP growth, with China serving as the primary driver of demand for major bulk trends consisting of iron ore and coal. In January, the IMF slightly revised upwards its estimate for the annual global GDP growth, as we said earlier, to average approximately 3.25% through 2027. China is now forecasted to grow 4.5% in 26. The Chinese economy continues to benefit from diversification of exports away from the US in order to minimize the potential implications from high trade restrictions, as well as large-scale government stimulus programs to incentivize domestic consumption. However, structural concerns within its real estate market and banking system, as well as aging population, remains, which may impede its longer-term economic growth trajectory. Last summer, spot rates have maintained solid footing despite slowing demand from China. Seaborne trade with India will become an increasing factor given the world's largest population and stage of development. The IMF forecasts India's GDP growth at 6.4% per year through 27. At January 23-26, the Baltic Dry Index stood at 1,762 points, which reflects normal seasonal trends, but has almost doubled year on year. In January 26, DNB issued a balanced supply and demand outlook for the dry bulk sector. During 26 to 28, it forecasts demand growth for seaborne dry bulk commodities to average 2.5% per year, while coal demand may be slightly lower this year if estimates temper the demand growth for iron ore and grain cargoes. Importantly, for mid-sized vessels over the period 26-28, it sees grain cargoes to rise 2.1% by volume and 2.8% by ton miles annually. In the beginning to second half 24, prices for bulk carriers materially declined. However, values for second-hand modern Eco, Kamsarmax and Ultramax vessels have been supported by a better freight market, which started in summer 25. Going to the next slide. Prices, new building delivery 28. These prices reflect Chinese-built tonnage. 33.4 million, historical average at 31.6, 5-year-old at 32 with a historical average of 31, and the 10-year-old at 24.8 with a historical average at 21. Kamsarmax, new building, again, these are Chinese prices, 36.4, historical average 35. 5-year-olds at 33 with a historical average close to that, and a 10-year at 26 million with a historical average at 24. Next slide. This is the financial summary, and with that, for that, Henry Williams, our CFO, will.
Okay, great. Thanks, Eddie. Let's quickly go through this. You can see here the 9-month income statement ending September 30th of 2025 versus the prior year. What you see, first of all, is time charter equivalent revenues declining roughly $8 million on the comparative periods. Time charter equivalent revenues are revenues net less voyage related costs and commissions. That decrease was substantially due to lower charter rates, whether it be in the product tanker segment or it be in the dry bulk segment. 2024 was an extremely exceptional year, and rates were very, very strong. And you see What we did, we ended up having more short-term TCs in 2025. Roughly 93% of revenues were tied into short-term TCs. More importantly, down below in the box, what you see is the average TCE for the fleet declined from $25,870 to roughly $17,700. Utilization was pretty constant during the period, but what happened is, again, our rates were lower. That is clearly demonstrated when you look at the MR daily TCEs, which declined roughly $10,000 per day, and also the dry bulk side, which roughly declined about $2,500, sorry, a little bit over $3,000 per day. This was pretty much industry-wide conditions. Moving to the next slide. What that is a little bit more granularity from the standpoint of the income statement. And what you see overall down below is the adjusted EBITDA declining roughly $11.8 million. That is substantially due to the lower time charter equivalent revenues of $8 million. Plus, in addition, there was a one-time management bonus that was $3 million that was paid in the 2025 period. So that's roughly $11 million of the change of $11.8 million in decline of adjusted EBITDA. Again, that points out overall the fact that the business is substantially fixed cost driven when you get down to it. Net result is that for the period, on a net income basis, it was flat for 2025 interim period. Let's move to the capitalization on the next slide, 17. What you see there is total bank debt, less cash at the end of the September 30th period, get to a net funded debt of $34.6 million. Book equity was just under $100 million. So a net funded debt to total capitalization is under 20%, which is obviously very attractive. The weighted average interest rate that we paid during the nine-month period ending September of 2025 was 6.67%. Our next loan maturity now is September of 2028, so readily over 2.5 years from now. Recently, you've seen the press release where we amended various of our loan agreements. We have resulted in a reduction in net interest margins. So overall, on a weighted average basis, we're just under 2% margin over SOFR. So in today's terms, if you looked at 3-month SOFR plus the margin, we would be roughly 5.65, which is ballpark about 1 full percentage point less than what we did during the September 2025 period of time. So a material savings for the company. As you know, we've implemented a share buyback program. We have repurchased so far about 115,000 common shares, spending roughly a little bit over $300,000 to do that. So we have another $2.7 million available under that buyback program. The float right now is roughly 4.25 million shares outstanding. Insiders in the company, led by Eddie, obviously, owns roughly 57% of the common shares. Let's go to the last slide, which is 18. You see the five key takeaways. I should point out there are two firms that provide research coverage on us, ThinkEquity and Alliance Global Partners. The average price target for those firms roughly is $9 per share. Based upon the current share price, obviously we're trading at a huge discount. You can look at it from a standpoint of NAV. If you look at their NAVs, which are a little dated at this point in time, we roughly trade at price to NAV around 30%. EV to EBITDA, based upon the estimates for 2026, we traded about 3.1 times. Based upon the estimates for 2026 PE, we traded at 3.3 multiple. And of course, price to book value, we traded roughly 36%. So, however you want to slice and dice it, whatever metric, we're obviously very, very undervalued at this point in time. With that, I'd like to flip it back to do some Q&A because we have a limited amount of time left. So I guess let's go down and see what we've got. Eddie, have you taken a look at these questions at all? First question comes up: considering the eco-efficient vessels in Pyxis fleet, have you considered
So yeah,
integrating?
I saw the question. So
Okay, sorry.
the wind assisted propulsion system. Sorry, I was mute. No, I mean it looks interesting. We need to evaluate it. Very few vessels have installed these systems in their fleet, so we need to see how it operates and the long-term benefits and the actual benefits in reducing the consumption. So we need to no, we haven't seen that in detail yet. Regarding asset values, the question is any comments on asset values with regard to potential acquisition? As we said earlier in the presentation, the asset values regarding tankers, and as you've seen from our list, they're above historical averages. We would like to see them declining further before we acquire further tonnage. In the dry bulk space, it seems that asset values are in line with historical averages, or although still higher, but in line with historical average. So maybe an opportunity in the dry bulk space might come, but you never know. Also in tankers, things might change quite quickly. The market is volatile, especially in the MRs, and we might see price fluctuations, which could be interesting to acquire a certain vessel. Henry, I think this is
Yeah, so the next one
yours.
is what about volume limits? Other than volume limits, are any constraints on the buyback? The answer is no. Obviously, the audience is familiar with there are certain rules and regulations as to repurchasing shares from the standpoint of volume limitations and time of day. So we're clearly within those rules and regulations. There's no impact from the standpoint of financial covenants on our loan agreements to buy back shares. So at this point, as I mentioned, we've used roughly about 10% of the buyback. We envision going to continue to repurchase shares. The program is in place through November of this year. Next question is, what is Theta earnings in Q1 2026? At this point, it is on a spot basis. We do not provide that information at this point in time. From the standpoint of the Orme, that is also on a spot charter. So we do not provide that information at this point in time. Ballpark spot rates booked for those assets. I would say again, when you look at it, in a general sense, as we mentioned in the dry bulk business for the midsize, there has been a little bit of seasonal softness that has started, this quarter. However, we are optimistic about improving rates and for example. If you look at Fearnleys put out an industry report this morning, it was very optimistic about the dry bulk sector. And in fact, for 2026, it estimates that spot rates for dry bulk sector will materially improve, specifically for Ultramax and Kamsarmax. Their average for this year is $20,100. So they obviously believe that there's going to be a significant improvement. That is primarily driven by strong commodity prices, cheap energy inputs, strong macro backdrop, and a weak US dollar.
Regarding the Converge Venture and Asteri, no, we will keep them in the spot market. And actually, today we fixed the Conquer Venture at the equivalent of close to $17,000 per day. And this is for a long TC trip. What are the current MR spot rates versus yours? I mean, currently the MR market in the Atlantic is a bit soft. I think we're repositioning our. We took a voyage for the Theta, repositioning it from the Europe to the US. in the Caribs, and we think that the market will be much better going later on this year. We expect to continue employing it in the spot market unless we have a nice opportunity to fix on a period. We believe that the market, the MR market, will be very volatile this year. So if we see a nice number for a year, we will book it.
Yeah, let me just ch chime in a little bit on that. As you saw, the bookings for the current quarter for the MRs are 23,100. That seems to be middle of the road from the standpoint of what Evercore and Arctic came out with this morning. They provide also an industry update on the tanker sector in total. That's pretty much Evercore has a forecast for this year, 22,000 per day for MRs, and Arctic was $24,200 per day. So right now we are in the right in the midstream of all that.
The dry bulk strength in January. I mean, dry bulk market has been soft since the beginning of the year, but now it shows some signs of strength. And I think there's as Henry mentioned, there is a bullish element on the dry bulk sector for the next 3 months. So, and considering that we fixed today at a very nice rate of almost 17,000, it looks like there is a strength. I cannot say where the strength is coming from, but definitely the futures show a nice February and March for the dry bulk market. Currently, the next one.
Yeah, should consolidated rates remain at these levels, do you expect to continue returning capital to shareholders? I think what you're referring to is obviously, do we expect to continue the buyback program, which we have $2.7 million available? The answer would be yes. Any other questions?
Yeah, there is a question about Iran and what that situation in Iran, in case things go ugly, what that means. I think that the Iran situation, considering that the Iran exports approximately 1.6 million to 2 million barrels to China, it can only be good for the market, considering that China would have to find alternatives for its cargoes from Iran. So it might be a good opportunity for especially for the crude market. But let's not forget that when the crude market is strong, many LR vessels are converting into dirty. So there is a lot of lack of tonnage also in the product market because vessels are converting to dry to dirty cargoes. So that's overall good for the market because it's driving also the product the tanker market.
Eddie, there's a question about do you prefer new builds or buy existing ships in for the dry bulkers?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So that's a good question. Let's say that for deliveries now in the dry bulk sector, in case you order today at very high prices, at historical highs, you will get delivery now the earliest end 2028, beginning 2029. That's the earliest without delays. So it's a substantial waiting period for a new build. And with existing technology, because you have to order something which the technology in the coming years might change because of the environmental situation that we described earlier. But in any case, no, we were not looking into new buildings, basically because of price issues, but also for technology which might be obsolete when the vessel will be delivered in 29 onwards. We prefer the second-hand market. As you've seen, our fleet, we have installed fuel-saving devices in all our vessels, so all our fleet is fuel efficient, and I think we have a very good comparison of the existing fleet with the new buildings that are coming now in the market. I think we have a very comparative consumptions in fuel. Dividends.
The next question is about dividends. We've addressed this many, many times over the last period of years. Obviously, we think that the best way to proceed is a continued disciplined way of capital allocation. As you have seen, we have done that repeatedly. And whether that's reviewing and considering buying assets or buying back stock, that is the preferred action for Pyxis Tankers. So consequently, we look to return value by buying back our shares, number one and number two. Obviously, we have significant dry powder to make attractive, accretive acquisitions, which further grow the company and create long-term shareholder value. I think that's pretty much it. We don't see any more questions, unless I'm missing something here. I think that's pretty much where we are. Paul, Nicholas, Markella, I guess that's pretty much where we are. We appreciate the webinar today. Hopefully, the investment community found it very informative about the current operations and future expectations for Pyxis Tankers. And we appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Nicolas. Thank you, Markella. Thank you for
And
inviting
thank
us.
you everyone for taking the time today to join us today and for submitting your questions. It was actually a great call. Please note that this webinar will be made soon available, access on demand on Capital Link's website at www.capitallinkwebinars.com and on Capital Link's YouTube channel. Thank you everyone again. You may now disconnect.
Thank you.
Thank you.